I'm Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 66.
And this week, it's Daisy's turn to share something with us. Daisy, what do you have?
Well, Terry, this week I'm back with one of my favourite podcasts, Rangan Chatterjee's Feel Better, Live More. And this is episode number 197, How to Transform Your Health Through Your Breath with James Nestor. And you might remember that I spoke about the first episode they did together, and I forgot to write down which number that was, but I'll find it and put it in the show notes. Quite a long time ago, if I remember rightly, where he was talking about mainly about the importance of nasal breathing over mouth breathing. And I can remember a lot of the information really stayed with me, and I realized just how important it was. It didn't get round, of course, to reading the book, but I have downloaded the audio book this time. So I will be listening to that soon. It's in the queue to listen to next. At the moment, I'm listening to a book about dog psychology. So I've got to finish that one first. But they revisited the same topic, basically, as the first episode, but went into a bit more detail and went off on some different tangents. And I do think there's a fair bit of overlap with the first episode I did, but enough that's different, or at least is worth repeating, I think. I think this is a very important topic. They kicked off with a few statistics. About 25 to 50% of the population breathes through their mouths. More children than adults are mouth breathers, and, interestingly, more women than men are. And a whopping 60% of us tend to sleep with our mouths open. But why does it matter? You know, why is it so important that we try and focus more on breathing through our noses than our mouths? Well, there are some obvious ones like dehydration. And James Nestor talks about how he used to be predominantly a mouth breather, and he would always have to have a glass of water next to his bed because he would wake up often with a really, really dry mouth. And apparently there's about 40% more moisture loss when you breathe through your mouth. And an interesting aside, and I remembered this from the first episode that I particularly liked about James Nestor, was that he approached it as a skeptic. He was writing a book. He's a researcher, and he came at it with a very skeptical mind. He's a journalist, and he says one of the biggest characteristics of journalists should be that you're naturally skeptical. So that was his approach. But he was really impressed with the data and the research done, so much that he started implementing some of the things himself. And I spoke more about that in the first episode. So what else happens? Well, it changes the pH in your mouth, making you more susceptible to cavities. And he mentions somebody he spoke to who presumably was a dentist. I can't remember. But he cites it as the most important thing, the thing that causes more cavities actually than sugar, was what this guy was saying. So really very important. You're exposing yourself all the time to everything that's in the external environment. Your lungs effectively become an external organ. So all those things that happen to be in your environment, pollution, allergens, viruses, they're all going straight into your lungs if you're breathing through your mouth. It raises your heart rate. You're going to snore more and be more susceptible to sleep apnea if you breathe through your mouth. Then there are developmental problems with kids and things like asthma and ADHD. Interestingly, said that 75% of children who have ADHD also breathe through their mouths. And he talked about in the first episode, and Rangan cites this because it was important to him personally, or more actually his wife. But James in the first episode mentions a tip about putting a little bit of tape on your mouth when you're sleeping to try and get you to keep your mouth closed and encourage you to breathe through your nose. It's not quite as bad as it sounds. It's easy to snap it open. But anyway, Rongen's wife started implementing this straight away. And apparently she now gets up earlier and sleeps better because of it. So this small change and tip that James mentioned in the first episode has had quite a dramatic influence on their lives. And Rongen asked James what kind of other feedback he might get from people who'd read his book. And he says that one of the most common things is this irritation and frustration that all these problems from mouth breathing actually have a potential solution, but they've only discovered it from reading his book. You know, so there's this real irritation and frustration that, I don't know, it's not taught in schools, or it's more commonly discussed maybe with regular visits to the GP or things like that. And he was saying that it tends to mostly affect milder chronic issues, which just generally tend to get ignored. And it's only when they develop into serious conditions that they are addressed. But then sometimes it's a bit too late. And he brings up a quote about Eastern versus Western medicine. I don't know where it originates. He got it via Brian McKenzie, who is another person who talks about breath work. And the quote is, "Eastern medicine is great if you want to live. Western medicine is great if you don't want to die." So it's kind of coming at the same problem from different angles. And he says, it's not about picking one or the other. It's about integrating the two and knowing when to use each for the most benefit. Rongen asks him to clarify a bit more about breathwork and the different kinds of breathwork, because he says that people tend to get confused. There are lots of different theories out there, just with a lot of things, lots of different theories, and a lot of them very different from each other. So it's natural to get confused. And James talks about in his book that he goes over some broad principles of different methods and how to apply them. And he says part of the problem is that there are lots of different methods and each one comes with a different philosophy. And very broadly speaking, there are sort of two different camps with the speed of breathing. So you have the slow breathing type methods and the fast one. And he said, but both are right, but they have different benefits. He said, overall, we want to be focusing on slowing our breathing. This is best to get the most oxygen with the least effort. But also the fast breathing type methods are really good for your health because they purposefully stress your body out. They focus stress into a controlled space in your day so that the rest of your day can be relaxed. And it's a bit like interval training. So if you think about it in the same way that what interval training does with exercise, well, some of these breathing techniques do for your overall breath work and your health. And he talks about it being this very controlled and purposeful stress that feels very different to the unwanted stress that comes at you in your daily lives that, you know, causes anger and frustration and irritation. It's a helpful kind of stress. It's a stress that has an outlet rather than this buildup of undesired stress during your day. He says it's also very useful to learn what stress feels like so that you can learn to switch it off. And you can then apply it to these more unforeseen, stressful environments. And the problem, and we've spoken about this many times before, the problem in our lives is this low-grade chronic stress, which increases inflammation and also modern chronic diseases. They talk quite a lot about Wim Hof and his method. And I know you've heard of Wim Hof, and I'm sure many people who are listening have too. And I've certainly looked at his stuff, and it made me think, because I knew that he did an episode with Rongen, and I thought, oh, I'll go and listen to that afterwards. And actually, I'll be honest, I listened to two different episodes, or I tried to listen to two different episodes, one with Rongen and one with somebody else. He's not the easiest person, not the most engaging kind of interviews, but he's a very engaging person in reading about his exploits. Very, very interesting. Won't go into him in detail. But the one thing that is quite useful that I did try, and I am going to try and incorporate more regularly in this spirit of interval training for your breathing, he has a couple of guided breathing exercises. They're about 10 minutes long or something, and it's three cycles of controlled breathing. He calls it circular breathing. And I realize I'm going off on a tangent here. This wasn't in the podcast, but they talked about him and it was a little rabbit hole that I went down afterwards. And what I will try and do, I think, is implement this for a while and then I'll come back and tell you more about it. But it's basically three cycles of some controlled breathing in and out. Not so fast that it really feels like hyperventilating, but faster than feels natural. And you do something like 30 breaths and then you're supposed to hold your breath after an exhale. And then you have an inhale and you hold for a shorter period of time. And you basically rinse and repeat that three times, with that longer hold getting longer each time. And in the light version, it starts at 30 seconds. Next one is a minute and the next one is a minute and a half. And I couldn't manage the minute. Interestingly enough, when it came to the third cycle, I could manage the minute, but I certainly couldn't manage the minute and a half. But it feels like the kind of thing that you'd be able to do with practice. And I really like this idea of the interval training aspect. So I am going to try and incorporate that. I will report back. So there's really a strong link between stress levels and the way you breathe. And one can really impact the other. And what they're really excited about is the fact that you can hack this system by working on your breathing, which will have this knock-on effect back on your stress levels. Bit like what we were talking about the potential knock-on effect of meditation. He says what he really likes about it is that you can see the changes immediately, unlike some other lifestyle interventions. And they mention diet, you know, that can take days, weeks, months before you notice anything. Well, with breath work, you can notice it in minutes. And he says, we all tend to have very short attention spans these days. So something with a fast result is appealing. And he says, if you can change things in just a few minutes, which you can, imagine the benefits repeating this exercise in days, weeks, and months later. But he says, be like him, be skeptical. Question what he was saying. That's what he did. And just like the body is impacted, so is the brain. You can think more clearly if you start implementing some of these breathing practices. And Wim Hof himself has challenged skeptics to test him on the claims he makes. And they have, and he's proved himself right. If you've read anything about him, you will see the different things he's done and how he's been able to really manipulate how his body works and keep viruses at bay and things like that. It's very impressive. And the big thing with him is that it bolsters the immune system and is especially good for autoimmune disorders. You can also use breathing to trigger the release of feel-good hormones. And so when you get used to doing it, when you get used to applying some of the breathing methods, you can trigger those at any time. And in his book, apparently, he starts with talking about breathing practices that will help everyone. So absolutely universal, everyone who applies these, it's going to be beneficial for. But then he goes into some more specific methods, which he calls breathing plus in his book, that are things like the Wim Hof method, which aren't necessarily helpful to everybody. But he encourages you to pick and choose and find methods that appeal to you, but then also to go slow, start small and build up. As a reminder that our drive to breathe, a lot of us think breathing is all about getting oxygen into our bodies. And of course it is, but our drive to breathe actually comes from our need to clear carbon dioxide rather than our need to take in oxygen. That's what actually drives the process of breathing.
Which is fascinating to me. Every time I even think of the topic breathing, I notice myself getting a little tense because every time I try to do a breathwork activity, what I find is I can do the inhale very well. I can do a really slow, long inhale. I mean, I feel like I have great lung capacity. But then when I exhale, it seems very brief. I can't drag that out for very long. And I think that exhaling, the getting rid of the CO2 brings on a little bit of a panicky feeling for me. And I don't know if I let go of it too quickly or what, but it's that imbalance of how I feel when I inhale versus exhale that makes breath work a little challenging for me.
Well, you try doing this Wim Hof thing, because after that exhale, so you've done the exhale, and that's when you have to hold your breath for 30 seconds to a minute and a half. And yeah, the panic comes in. Not that you have to, of course, you can break early like I did. But
right.
Yeah, straight away, I know what you mean. There's that slight sense of panic. So actually what you're trying to do is to increase carbon dioxide tolerance with breath holding. And it can help with all sorts of things, from sport performance to things like anxiety. And they talked about how 30% of breathing is really impacted by your posture. Your lungs need to inflate and deflate properly to get a good, consistent flow of air and therefore oxygen into your lungs. And if you have hunched shoulders or you tend to sit slumped over, this really impacts your ability to breathe fully and well. And he said most of us tend to breathe up and down rather than out and in, and really use your diaphragm. They talk about yoga and how it actually started more as about breathing, but a lot of yoga moves are about stretching your rib cage to enable breathing. And he talks about a test you can do, very quick and easy, to see whether you're somebody who breathes up and down or in and out. This is called the BIC test. And all you do is you stand up and you place your hands above your hip bones and you breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, and feel under your hands what's happening. Are you breathing laterally or are you just breathing up and down? Is it just your belly that goes in or out, or can you feel movement under your hands? And I'm pleased to say that I do some lateral breathing. Of course, I went and did the test straight away myself. But it's something, especially if you're focusing in on that, which of course you do, if you put your hands there, you can feel. And so you can think about what's moving. Is it just your rib cage going in and out, or is the whole diaphragm moving? And again, with talking about stress and breath work, well, it's the same with posture. Just as your posture will affect your breathing, you can hack the system from the other direction and improve your breathing, improve your posture. And he maintains that breathing needs to be considered as important as how we eat, how we sleep, how we exercise. It needs the same kind of consideration and attention. And the further we're putting ourselves from nature, the sicker we get. And the closer we can get back to some of the things our ancestors did, the healthier we will get. And breathing is an important part of that. And his final tip, and I have to say, it's one of these episodes that just goes on and on. I'm all for the long form podcast, but sometimes, Rongan, they're just a little bit too long. And I get bored and I drop out. But his final tip was just start by breathing in and out to the count of 5 or 6 through your nose. So in for a count of 5, out for a count of 5. Do that through your nose for 20 cycles and then just check in and see how it makes you feel. And he pretty well guarantees that you'll feel a little bit calmer and a little bit better. And hopefully that's going to encourage you to then go on and pay a bit more attention to your breathing and maybe adopt some of the techniques that's in his book. And I will come back and tell you at some point a bit more about what's in this book. Like I say, it's queued up next after I finish my dog psychology book.
Awesome. You've just touched on so many things that, you know, I feel like everything I've learned over the past few years is breath work underlies everything. And yet it's the thing I continue to ignore.
Same.
And I remember even as a psychologist in private practice, learning about the role of too much CO2 creating that response of panic. And that in order for people to let go of that panic feeling, they needed to focus on evening out their breath. And, you know, I think when we start breathing too quickly, we're saving up too much CO2, which creates that kind of stress response, that nervous response. So this was a really good reminder for me today to practice it, not just believe it's important, but actually work on practicing it in my own life. Even as you were talking, I was, you know, practicing it over here on the other end, but it just reminds me of how powerful it is and what signaling it does throughout our body to enhance a stress response, relieve a stress response, relax the body, activate the parasympathetic nervous system instead of the sympathetic nervous system. Such vital work.
I think it's one of those things, isn't it? You probably heard that phrase, you know, just count to 10 when you're stressing out. It's one of those things, if you, you know, learn one of the breathing techniques, there are all sorts, aren't there? There's box breathing, there's all sorts of different, very short breathing techniques you can learn how to do and just practice. We're just talking about a few minutes, but it is something that you can then employ once they're very natural and easy to do. If something's really, you know, stressing you out at work, say, well, you can just go off for a toilet break and just sit there, mm-hmm. a few minutes of breathing, calm yourself down before you go back in. It seems to me like it's a very useful tool to have in your toolkit to be able to just de-stress without, I mean, you know, you could even be doing it in a meeting, couldn't you, without anybody knowing. It's just something that feels very handy to be able to do.
Yeah, which is why it was the biggest strategy I used to teach people. Because if someone said, oh, I relax by taking a bubble bath and listening to music, that's great when you're at home. But if you're in a meeting or on a bus, you can't do that. And so you need something that you can do in any situation. And breath work is definitely one of those. The other thing I want to add for anyone out there who might be a little more challenged by this, like I have been, is I wouldn't get too hung up on which strategy and how many counts in and how many counts out. Because one of the benefits of doing it is that it activates the front of your brain, the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is more of our thinking center. And when we're caught up in a stress response, what's being more activated is our amygdala, which gets that stress response going. It's a cascade of events after that. And our prefrontal cortex kind of goes offline. And so if you're in a stressful meeting or a stressful situation that you need to actually calm down for, counting your inhalation and your exhalation, again, I don't care whether it's 4 or 5 or 6 or 8, just the fact that you're counting it, you're activating that front part of your brain, which helps you disengage from the emotional response part of your brain. So it's not only just the actual technique that's going to matter. It's the fact that you're slowing it down and counting and reconnecting with this other part of your brain. So please don't feel pressured to do these breathing strategies perfectly.
No, absolutely.
Just engaging with them will make a difference.
This is that grounding effect, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And quite often, because I tend to be, I would say overall, I'm a nose breather. But I do have a tendency quite often to be mouth breathing, but I've learned, and some of these things are coming back to me from the first episode, of one of the important things about making the change is just to be aware when you're mouth breathing. And it's something that I've become more and more aware of. And just that, the sort of grounding technique of being aware of it and focusing on, like you say, it doesn't matter on the count, but just thinking about it. And this is what I do, making a conscious effort. Okay, I realize I'm breathing through my mouth. I know that's not ideal. So I'm going to focus on just breathing in, breathing out through my nose. And it's just that awareness mm-hmm. and that focus on what you're doing. Like you say, it just takes you a bit out of yourself, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want a bit more challenge, you can go off and do some Wim Hof stuff. And that's what I'm going to be doing. Of course, he appeals to me as well a little bit because of the cold water stuff. I mean, he just does ridiculous things like climbing Mount Everest in his pants. I mean, he is a little bit out there. Like I say, he's a very interesting person to read about. But I quite like the mix with the cold water and the breathing. So yeah, I'm going to challenge myself to do some of this interval training type breathing.
And some of what I've learned about that segment of breathing techniques is it's not only for in the moment benefit, like just slowing down our breath is that can calm us in that moment, but doing some of these other strategies are actually things that can help us longer term. I can't think of the word you used for it, but you know, it will help us with our stress responses, how our body responds to stress in the future, not just how we're dealing with the current stress. But it can help with stress inoculation and helping us manage it differently in future experiences. So different reasons to do different approaches.
Yes, I quite like the idea of, yeah, just throwing in this, like these different techniques for the benefit for this side. Because I really like the logic of interval training when it comes to exercise. So it's the same. It's the same kind of approach to improve the overall health of your breathing, basically. So, and you know, and sometimes I quite like the challenge, and it's certainly challenging. So that's what I'm going to be doing this week.
Well, Daisy, as we end today, I had to kind of laugh when you started. You and I notice this happens often. I don't know if the listeners pick up on this, but the way you and I do our recordings, oftentimes we are in the plans for the next episode while we are recording one episode. And our last two episodes shared a similar topic from a different point of view. And funnily enough, my topic for next week is not about breathing, but it is about stress.
Uh-huh.
And so it just, you know, just kind of all weaves together each week. There are pieces from one week that trail into the next week and cycle back to week 12 or something. But so next week I will be coming back and talking a little bit more about stress.
I look forward to it. In the meantime, I hope you have a very wonderful week.
Take good care, everybody.